So we're going to take a break this morning from our Vine and Fruit series. If you have not been with us over the last couple weeks, we've been looking at the vine and the fruit of the Spirit. The vine, of course, being Jesus and how the Lord wants us to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. We're going to take a break from that this week, and we're going to have more of a sermon or a message this morning really focused on the greatest story that has ever been told, the greatest thing that has ever been written down in the history of man. We're going to look at the resurrection of Jesus and how that can affect us today. The title of the message this morning is simply entitled, The Beautiful Empty. The Beautiful Empty. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we do thank you so much for this time. And Father, as now we turn our attention to your word, Father, I pray that you would open our hearts, that your Holy Spirit would just illuminate the things that need to be shown to us, and that, Father, that it would be shown to us in a powerful, powerful way. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Boy, what a day, huh? Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, it's always such a special time. I don't know how you and your family celebrate. I know that some of you enjoy different types of activities and meals. Some of you have maybe had meals over the weekend at different times, and maybe you have a special meal coming up this afternoon. However you choose to celebrate Resurrection Sunday, it's always an interesting, exciting time, because we focus so much on the resurrection of Jesus. And here's the deal. I know that there's lots going on in our world right now. There's a lot of things that are pressing for our attention and our concern. And definitely all those things warrant our attention. But at the same time, I am so thankful that we have a day and we have a time where we can just say, you know what? He's risen. He's risen. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave, and we can celebrate and be excited. But here's the thing. Here's the thing that we have to understand. If not for the empty tomb, if not for the beautiful empty, we would be in a sorry state of affairs. Paul understood that. In fact, as he was writing to the church in Corinth, he kind of brings this up to us and kind of helps us to see some things that we sometimes may miss. But in 1 Corinthians 15:14, this is what he's written. He says, "And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith." This is the day. This is the moment where we celebrate what is so central to what we believe. For without the empty tomb, we just have a prophet or a really great teacher who said great things, things that we should follow, things that really are good ways to live our life. But even so, if the tomb is still full, this time is useless. Your faith is useless. But when we understand that the tomb is empty, when we understand the beautiful emptiness of the tomb of Jesus, we can celebrate, because we know our faith isn't useless, that this time can be used by God to help us grow in our understanding of Him and grow in our faith. But here's the deal. Here's the thing that we need to understand. This story, even though it's a great story, even though it's an amazing story, starts with disappointment. I don't know where you walked in today. I don't know where you are, possibly online, but I don't know those types of situations or things in your life. But I do know this. Sometimes life can be full of disappointments. It can be full of times where we don't understand, where we try to look and understand situations and circumstances and try to even follow. Maybe, God, what are you doing here? What are you trying to help me to see or get? And we can have disappointment in our life. You see, disappointment is quite simply or easily explained as basically an expectation that doesn't live up to your expectation. You're thinking, it's going to be this way, it's going to be like this, and it just doesn't seem to work out. And because of that, because the things that you want to happen or expect to happen don't happen, we get disillusioned, we get disappointment. We get hurt. We get upset. And so many of us live life that way. But we have to understand the resurrection story started with disappointment. It started with expectations that were not met. And that's where we're going to pick up our story this morning. You see, this morning what we're going to do, if you have your Bibles or if you have your phones, whatever you typically use, we're going to be in John 20. We're going to kind of go through John 20 this morning and kind of look at these things and unpack them together and let the Holy Spirit really begin to show us some things that I believe God desperately wants us to understand. But we have to first understand that the disciples, Mary, were filled with disappointment. And so here's the deal. You may have walked in this morning and you say, you know what? I don't have anything to celebrate. You know what? I'm not in a real celebratory mood this morning. I'm disappointed. I don't understand why this has happened or that has happened. You're in good company. You're in good company. So again, if you have your Bibles, John chapter 20, we're going to look starting with verse number 1 and read through verse number 9. And kind of look at what this tells us. So here's what it says. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. That's John, that's the writer here of this book. She said, they have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So we're going to stop there for just a second. Michelle, you can just keep that up there. Can you imagine in this moment what must have been going through Mary's mind? She's disappointed. She's upset. She believed that Jesus was who he said he was, but just doesn't quite understand what has been going on over the last 48 hours or so. And so she goes to the tomb. Other gospels talk about how she comes with spices to anoint the body because they didn't have time to do it properly earlier. So she goes to the tomb. She shows up there hurting, disappointed, not sure what's going to come next. And as she gets there, the tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. And so she goes, I don't know where they have put them. Okay, Michelle, let's go ahead. Thank you. Great job. Peter and the other disciple started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For until then, they still hadn't understood the scriptures that said Jesus must rise from the dead. It's amazing to me. Well, maybe it shouldn't be, because I probably would have also missed it if I had been one of Jesus' disciples. But it's interesting that here there's finally are starting to understand. Even though Jesus multiple times has said to his disciples, the Son of Man is going to come. He's going to be handed over into the hands of wicked men. He's going to be crucified, but on the third day, he will rise again. But they don't quite understand. They don't get it. They had their own expectations. In fact, even when Jesus begins to talk this way, Simon Peter looks at Jesus and rebukes him. He says, that's not what's going to happen. That's not my expectation, Jesus. And Jesus says, you don't understand. And so all of this starts with disappointment. But all things begin to change because of an empty tomb. Because of a beautiful empty. Listen, one of the things I want you to get more than just about anything else this morning is simply this. Because the tomb is empty, your life can be full. It can be full. It can't be full without the empty tomb. And some of us, many of us, we try to fill our lives with a tomb that is still covered up. A tomb that still has whoever we worship inside. Because here's the deal. If you don't worship Jesus, you worship something. We all have our own person or thing that we worship. But as followers of Jesus, because the tomb is empty, your life can be full. And what's interesting about this is Jesus alludes to this 10 chapters before John 20. In fact, he alludes to it in John 10:10, a verse that so many of us have heard before. And he says this, the thief here is the enemy, comes to steal and to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. You see, one of the beautiful things about the empty tomb is our life can be full. It doesn't mean our life will be perfect. It doesn't mean that our life won't have struggles. In fact, Jesus promises us that we will go through hard times. We will suffer. We will go through moments where things are difficult and seasons that are difficult. But even in those moments, we can have a fullness that comes from Him. A fullness that can only come because the tomb is empty. This morning, what I desire for me, what I desire for us, is to have a life that is full of Jesus. That is not somewhat Jesus, that's not every other week Jesus, that's not every holiday Jesus, but a life that is full of Him. Because here's what I know. We look at our world, we look at situations that we face. What our world needs is what we need personally, and it is a life to the full of Jesus. And we can have that because of the empty tomb. So many times I look back in Scripture and I look especially at David's life in the Psalms, and you can almost see him having, as he's sitting down, writing these things out, trying to make sense out of the emotions that he's feeling in these beautiful hymns and Psalms. And it's almost like he's almost crying out, God, I want to be more full of you. God, what I have is great, but I want more. Because of the empty tomb, we can have that. We can have a fullness of life that only comes from Him. But here's the thing. Sometimes we allow other things to fill what Jesus desires to fill in our lives. The empty tomb really is important for us to understand, because when we begin to more deeply understand really what Jesus has done for you and for me, we can allow those things that don't belong in our hearts to be pushed away so that we can have a deeper understanding and a more life to the full in Him. This morning, as we look at these things together, as we travel through John 20 together, what I understand is simply this: as we look at some individuals' lives and the things that were going on, I have come to this understanding that the empty tomb is full of guarantees. It's full of guarantees. These are not half-truths. These are promises that we see in God's Word. They are promises that are yes and amen. They are guarantees. And here's the deal. I don't know about you, but sometimes you turn on the TV or you turn on the radio and you hear these things, 100% guarantee. And then you hear the really fast talker at the end. I want to be that guy. You know, that's like, 100% guarantee. If you don't do this, if you don't do this, and you can't understand a word that they're saying. It's the fine print. And what you find is that 100% guarantee has some caveats to it, doesn't it? It has some things that, well, if you do this, and 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 you do this, you know, if you were born on an, you know, if you were born in June, and you were born on an odd day in June, and if you were born in a year that's even in that odd day, you know, then it's 100%. The things of God, the promises of God, listen, there's no fine print. These are guarantees. And here's the deal. They've been guaranteed by a God who cannot lie, whose truth is literally a part of His being. And we can literally take these guarantees to the bank. And they were sealed in many, many ways because that tomb is still empty. So this morning, we're going to look at three guarantees that you and I can see and experience that we look at and see in John 20. Number one, because the tomb is empty, every tear can be wiped away. Not some tears, every tear. every tear. And here's the deal. I know that some of us at times, we go through seasons of grief. We go through seasons where we're sad and we go through those things. And we have a tendency in those moments to think that Jesus has forgotten us. We have a tendency in those moments to say that Jesus isn't aware of our tears. I am here to tell you something that you need to understand. He sees every tear. He sees every broken heart. He sees everything in your life that brings you pain. And here's what's unbelievable about Jesus. He knows and understands because he has felt it himself. Our God has experienced it. Our God has wept. Our God has felt the sting of disappointment and rejection. Our God understands your tears, and they don't push him away. They call to him in a deep, deep way. Let's look at this together again. John chapter 20. We're going to start with verse number 11. Kind of pick up where we left off. Thank you, Lord. Make sure there. Verse number 11. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they have put him." She turned to leave, and she saw someone standing there. This is interesting. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him." Man, what an interesting story here. If you don't know quite who Mary is, Mary has followed Jesus for a number of years. She's been with the disciples. She's sat there, I'm sure. She obviously has seen some of the miracles that Jesus has done and taught. It's interesting here that Mary can't recognize Jesus. She thinks he's the gardener. In fact, when Jesus speaks to her, he says, "Why are you crying? Why are you crying?" And she says, "Because I don't understand. My Lord has been taken away. Do you know where he is?" And I can only imagine as she's expressing these things to Jesus, the tears are coming and the hurt is coming. All those feelings of disappointment and pain become just kind of rush out of her. She's confused. She doesn't know what to do. I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes I can experience this, that sometimes in our most painful moments, even knowing that Jesus is accessible to us, we miss him because of how real and painful the tears are. Sometimes Jesus can be so close, and we'll sit there almost and say, "Jesus, where are you?" And we can miss him because of how real the tears are. Listen, I'm not here to tell you that your tears aren't important. I'm not here to tell you that your pain isn't real. I'm here to tell you that there is a God who hears your cries. And though even though Mary didn't even know in that moment who she was speaking to, Jesus was so close. You see, Scripture teaches us that Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, that he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. So even in your moments of pain, even in your moments of tears, you need to understand that Jesus is closer than you imagine, and he will never leave you. She doesn't understand. The tears and the pain are just too great. But look, John 20, verse number 16, "Mary," Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. I love this. I don't know if you love it as much as I do, but you ought to love it as much as I do. She doesn't understand. She's hurting. She thinks it's the gardener. But when Jesus calls her by name, she recognizes him. It is so easy for us at times to think that Jesus doesn't know our name. He knows your name. He knows your name. And he's calling out to you, saying, I know you're hurting. I know life can be hard, but here I am. I'm calling out to you. You see, the tears that you experience, the pain that you experience, does not repel Jesus. It doesn't cause him to say, you know what? You know, you need to get over it. You know what? Yeah, you bet, buddy. Life's hard. It doesn't do that. It draws him almost like a magnet to you. And it's sometimes we don't know he's there, but he is. Look at Psalms 34:18. In Psalms 34:18, it says this, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed." He's close to you if your heart is broken. He's close to you if you are going through moments of pain. He's got you. He has called you by name. Answer his call. He can wipe away every tear. And listen, I understand that in this life there are tears, but there will come a day when every tear is wiped away. You see, right now, in a lot of ways, Jesus wipes away our tears by being close. He comes and he says, you know what? I may not calm the storm, but I'll calm your heart in the midst of it. But there will be a day where every tear is wiped away. I'm looking so forward to that day. Number two, because the tomb is empty, every fear can be overcome. Every fear. Listen, some of us may have walked in this morning with some fear. Some fear. We don't like to always admit that. We don't always like to look at that. And we may not necessarily walk around with fear all the time, but sometimes we'll see things or experience things. Maybe we've experienced the hurt of someone close to us, or we see things going on in our world, or whatever it might be. And in those moments, we begin to have fear. We begin to have those moments where we kind of like, oh my goodness, it's almost too much. It's almost overwhelming me. Listen, what Scripture teaches us is not that you won't have fear. We will experience at times fear. What the Bible preaches and what we need to understand is because of the empty tomb, because of the love and the grace of Jesus, we don't have to let fear grip our hearts and control us. There's the difference. Yes, we may look at things and go, wow, this is big. Wow, I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how to handle this. I am somewhat afraid. But we can go to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm afraid, but I will not allow it to grip me. I won't allow it to control me. Instead, I will be an overcomer of that fear because that tomb is empty. Because here's the thing. If the tomb is empty, we have no reason to fear. If the tomb is empty, Jesus has control over it all. And we can experience that fear, but don't allow it to grip our hearts. Look here. Look here with me. John 20, starting here with verse number 19, says, that Sunday evening, okay? Resurrection Sunday evening, Easter Sunday evening, that night, that very night, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors, because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. They're afraid. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his sides. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, peace be with you. They're scared to death. They're hiding. They lock the door. And I love this. They think they're, you know, safe, quote unquote. And Jesus just appears in the room. I love it. I mean, can you imagine these disciples? Man, they're cowering. They're afraid. They don't know, man, the Jewish leaders are going to come knock on the door and say, hey, what you do with the body? You know, I mean, they don't know what to do. They're scared. And Jesus just shows up in the midst of their fear. And then he tells them, peace be with you. And he speaks it twice. Listen, if you understand anything about how we talk about scripture around here, it's when you begin to see a repetition of something in a couple of verses, it's important. Jesus is trying to get them to see something and also wanting us to see something. He's wanting to say, listen, I know you have may be afraid. I know that there's a lot going on, but listen, peace be with you. And I'm always reminded when I hear those words that we find in Isaiah that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. What's Jesus really saying here? He's not saying, you know, peace, you know, just chill, just relax, everything's cool. When he says, peace be with you, because he is the Prince of Peace, he's basically saying this, because I am with you, you can have peace. Because I am here, you can live in a fullness. You don't have to let fear control you. Look here. Look at the hands. Look at my side. I am here. I am with you. Your fear can be gone. Your fear can be removed. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. I wonder how many of us live behind locked doors because we are not quite sure if Jesus will come through on every promise that he has made. This morning, what I want you to do, what I maybe need to do as well, is begin to look at my heart and go, you know what? Where are some areas that I have put behind a locked door? You know, Jesus, I'll trust you here, but I won't trust you here. What areas are you saying, you know what? I'm not quite sure that Jesus is going to come through. I'm not quite sure that he is going to do the things he promised me he would do. But listen, it's time, because of the empty tomb, to open the door. It's time to break down those walls and those locked doors and allow him to come through. Do you realize that in Scripture, we see it over 300 times that God commands us. He doesn't say, if you feel like it. He doesn't say, maybe if you're having a good day. He commands us to not be afraid. Don't be afraid. In fact, in Genesis 26, all the way back at the beginning, one of the first times we see it, Genesis 26, 24, he says, do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. Many, many times out of those 300 times, he doesn't just say, don't be afraid and heads off. He says, don't be afraid because I am with you. We don't have to let fear grip us. Why? Because our Jesus is alive. He is with us. He is walking this life with you. And he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. For some of us, it's time to stop living behind the locked doors of our fear and allow the God that every promise is yes and amen. Open that door and come on in. I love that Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who will open the door to me, I will come in and be with them. For some of us, we sit there and we go, Jesus, why aren't you in this situation? Why aren't you in that situation? Jesus, why haven't you come and done this in this situation? Sometimes we have to stop and take some evaluation of our own heart and realize it's because we have locked the door. Because we are afraid. We can allow him to come in. Number three. Because the tomb is empty, every doubt can be relieved. Every doubt can be relieved. Look at John 20, starting with verse number 24. We're going to go from 24 to 28. It says, one of the 12 disciples, Thomas, nicknamed the twin, was not with the other disciples when Jesus came. So basically what we just read earlier, Thomas isn't there. He missed the party. I don't know where he was. I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm going to ask him. I said, where were you, dude? You know, were you hiding someplace? Were you having lunch? You know, like, where were you in this moment? Well, we don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. We just know he's not there. He says, they told him, we have seen the Lord. Now, listen. We know the end of the story here, okay? I mean, I'll be honest. Thomas has gotten a pretty bad rap. Listen. I'll bet you he would much rather have been gone by twin than Thomas. You know why? Because we don't call him Thomas anymore. We call him Doubting Thomas. Now, can I just mention something? Thankfully, none of us had our worst moment with Jesus recorded in Scripture. Okay? So when you meet, you know, Thomas in heaven one day, will you just call him Thomas, you know? Please? Because I'm sure he's going to get real tired of that, okay? I'm sure I'm glad that my worst moments, you know, I don't have a nickname. But Thomas says, listen, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hands into the wound in his side. Okay, he doubted. I probably would have too. What they were asking, or what they were saying, didn't seem possible. You see, here's the deal. We become doubters when we forget that we worship and serve the God of the impossible. When we forget nothing is too hard for God. No matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter what sickness may be ravaging your body, no matter what your bank account says, no matter how much your relationships are broken and destroyed, there is nothing too hard for our God. Nothing is impossible for him. Thomas forgot that. Thomas forgot those things. And so instead, he said, you know what? Because of my hurt, because of my disappointment, because of the things I've experienced, I want something that I can literally hold and touch. Something I can feel. 8 days later. So it's interesting here, folks. It's not like the next moment. There's some time here. There's some time. Listen, we don't have this recorded. What was going on over this 8 days? Because I guarantee you, you know, like the disciples who'd experienced Jesus, they weren't just like, hey, Jesus is risen. We'll just, you know, keep this among ourselves. I mean, this God had been moving and grooving here. And so I have to believe that Thomas is hearing these things over and over and over. 8 days later, the disciples were together again. And this time, Thomas was with them. This time, Thomas was with them. The doors were locked again. Still haven't quite gotten the fear thing now, but Jesus is working on them. But suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them. What's he say? Peace be with you. Here I am. Then he said to Thomas, oh boy, okay, oh boy, put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe. My Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. Here's the deal. Some of you may have walked in here. Maybe some of you are online. Maybe you got invited to be here, whatever. And you know, you're kind of discovering some of this. Like, maybe you've heard some of these things before, but this may be kind of the first time for you. And you may have walked in with a lot of doubts. A lot of doubts. I think even people that have followed Jesus for many, many years, at times we can allow doubt to come in. Remember here something. Thomas had seen it all. Thomas had seen the miracles. Thomas had seen Lazarus, who was dead, come out of the tomb. He's seen people that are deaf be able to hear, blind that be able to see. He's seen the miracles and the teaching and the life. He's basically hanged out with Jesus for 3 or so years. He knew a little bit about Jesus and what he was able to accomplish. But yet, doubt came in. But here's the deal. Here's what he needed to understand. Here's what you need to understand. Jesus isn't threatened by Thomas's doubt. He extends an invitation. You see, Jesus is not threatened by your doubt. But what Jesus does do is he says, come and see. Put your finger here. Put touch here. Feel this. Experience me. Don't just sit there and doubt, but believe. 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 He invites him. Jesus isn't threatened by your doubt. But what Jesus does do is he says, come on. Come on. I will show you. Scripture says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. I love that in this story, what do we see? We see Thomas back with the 12 or the 11 at this point. We don't see Thomas going off and doing his own thing. We don't see Thomas trying to figure it out on his own. Listen, if you are experiencing doubts, if you are experiencing hard moments, the worst thing that you could do is go off on your own and try to deal with them by yourself. One of the reasons that God has brought a church family together is so that when you're going through moments of difficulty or fear or pain or sadness or doubt, you should come close and so that we could come together as a family and meet Jesus together. Can you meet him on your own? Absolutely. Do you meet him on your own? Sure. But I love that it took 8 days and Jesus appeared when they were all together again. Jesus could have met Thomas on his own. He chose this way. And I think it's important that we see that. That our doubt isn't a threat. It isn't repulsive to Jesus. He invites us in that moment to come and taste and see and touch and know that he is with us. So as we close this morning, the question becomes simple. What does all this really mean for me? I mean, maybe, you know, it's just, hey, this is, what a great story. You know, I mean, that's pretty cool. You know, that's great. Let's go eat. What does this really mean for me? Because here's the thing. When we get information, but we don't apply the information, we're missing on what the Holy Spirit wants to do in us and through us. And so what does this mean for me? Well, on this Resurrection Sunday, what does this mean? Well, here's the deal. As I was looking and studying and looking through John 20, which is obviously where we've been all this morning, I noticed a couple things. I noticed maybe some themes that were there that I think really help us see how this applies to us. You see, in this story found in John 20, there's a lot of looking, searching, and running. Seriously, not right now, but maybe later sometime, go back through John 20 and look and see how many times you see running and looking and searching. They go to the tomb. They look in. They run to the tomb. They run from the tomb. They're searching for Jesus. They're looking for Jesus. They don't know what's going on. All these things are really a part of the story, this idea of looking and searching and running, trying to figure out, where do I go from here? What do I do now? Okay, I get it, Aaron, the tomb is empty. What does that mean? Do I do here this or do I do that? Do I run here or do I run there? Well, I don't know. My life isn't full. You say the tomb is empty, therefore my life can be full, but my life isn't full. I've been looking so many places. I've been searching so many places for something to come and to fill my heart and my life. You see, what we see in this story, through Mary, through Thomas, through Simon Peter, through John, through all the disciples, is there so much in our world today looking and searching and running, looking for something that will come and fill our hearts, something that will we search out the new thing or the new situation that will bring peace and joy and love in our hearts. And to find those things, we run from one thing to another. I'll run over here and try this, and then I'll run over here and try that. Why? Because I want my life to be full. You see, you were created on purpose. You were created with a purpose. You were created to understand that you have a life that you desperately want to fill. That's not a birth defect. You were created that way by God. And we try to run and search and look for that one thing or those several things that will give us what only Jesus can. Remember all the way back to John 10:10. It's interesting that Jesus doesn't just say, "I have come to give them life and to the full." But before he mentions that, he talks about how the enemy of our soul comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If your heart is full of those attributes, you will never have the fullness that Jesus came to give you. And here's what I have learned. You can say, "Well, Aaron, I am a good person. I don't do bad things." Let me explain to you what Scripture really says and what we believe. Scripture says that not one is righteous. No, not one. It's not about how you perfectly or imperfectly live your life, because no matter how perfectly you do it, it will never be enough. It will never fill you. If that was possible, Jesus never would have come. He never would have died and never would have risen again. All of us need him. And so because of that fact, Scripture also teaches that a person can only serve one master. You'll either serve the Lord or you won't. And a heart and a life that is not with Jesus is a life that will never be full. Because no matter how full you try to get it, the enemy will constantly kill, steal, and destroy. We need him. We all sometimes spend our time looking, searching, and running, but all of us need him. Look at this, 2 Corinthians 5:15. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. The beautiful empty is there because of you. It's there because Jesus loved you so much that he said, "You know what? It's for everyone. It doesn't matter how good you think you are, how flawed you think you are, or wherever you are in the middle. Jesus came and died for you. He came and made a way for you, so that you don't have to spend your time looking, searching, and running from thing to thing and person to person and place to place. Instead, you can find all that you need in Jesus." Quite simply, the power of the resurrection story is in something they didn't find. The tomb was beautifully empty. And it still is. It still is for you and for me. Would you bow your heads? Let's close our eyes. I know that's a kind of thing that churches do, but listen, the reason why we do it here is just so we can focus. This is a moment that really is between you and Jesus, and we just feel like it helps us to focus a little bit. Nothing magical or spiritual about it. It's just help us focus on Jesus. I have a question to ask you. On this Resurrection Sunday, as you look back over your life, and listen, we'll make it simple, maybe just over the last 6 months, has it been a life of fullness or a life of running and looking and searching? Because here's the thing that sometimes is hard for us to understand. When we look at Mary and we look at John and look at Peter, and they run to the tomb, and what do they find? It's empty. It's empty. And in that moment, listen, in that moment, I'm sure there wasn't necessarily just this, oh my goodness, this is wonderful, the tomb is empty. I'm sure in that moment, it was even more difficult and more painful. You see, what's amazing about God is even in the times where we don't understand Him the most, He could be doing the greatest thing that has ever been done. So over the last 6 months, what's your life looking like? Has it been a life full of searching? Trying to fill, I'll run over here and we'll try to see if this fulfills, and we'll run over here and try to see if this fulfills? Or is it a life that has been full of Jesus? For maybe others, have you forgotten a little bit about the guarantees? Maybe you're in a season of hurt and pain and tears, and you think Jesus has left you and forgotten about you. He hasn't. He's close. For others, maybe it's been a season of fear. You're afraid. And listen, fear can make us do lots of different things. Fear doesn't always result in us hiding in the corner behind locked doors. Sometimes fear causes us to do things that we'll regret or respond in ways that are not godly or how God would want us to respond to those moments. Or maybe some of us, we've just been going through a season of doubt. God, are you really going to come through on these promises? Hey, listen, I was talking to a friend this morning. Because the tomb is empty, because he kept that promise, he'll keep all the other ones as well. So if you're searching, looking and running, I'm here to tell you, and listen, I know in our culture, in our world today, we don't like a lot of things that kind of seem to be, tight or truth, or this is right, this is wrong, this is, can't say the word I'm trying to say, but we kind of gone through that. We don't like that. But listen, I love you enough to share with you what I believe. And Jesus has told us there is one way to the Father, and it is through Him. And you may say, well, maybe there's many, many ways. No. And listen, you don't have to agree with me, but I'm telling you right now, I love you enough to tell you what I believe is truth. And I don't stand on this truth because this is what Aaron thinks. I stand on this truth because this is what God's Word says. But I also understand that in my own life, I've done a lot of running and looking and searching too. And I've tried to fulfill my life and get to the Father with many, many things. But only Jesus has brought life to the full for me. And if He'll do it for me, He'll do it for you. Maybe others of us have accepted him and are trying to experience that, but we have let these seasons affect us. And this morning, I feel like the Lord wants to just once again remind us we don't have to live life of pain. We don't have to live a life of doubt. We don't have to live a life of fear. We can allow Jesus and the fact that that tomb is empty to drive those things away and experience the fullness of life that Jesus came to give us. What's beautiful is no matter where you are, the result is the same. Fullness of life that is only found in Him. Only found in Him. So here's what we're going to do to close this morning. And I know there's people online, and here's the deal, folks. If you're online, you can do this with us. It's not about a place or a location. It's about your heart. And so this morning, you would say, you know what, Aaron? I have been running, and I have been looking, and I have been searching for so many years and so many things. And all I find is more emptiness. And this morning, I want to say, fill me, Jesus. I want to say, I'm tired of being empty. And Jesus, I want you to fill me. That happens simply when we accept Him as Lord and Savior. It's what basically Thomas said when he felt those moments, or felt his hands in his side. He said basically, Jesus, I recognize that you are Lord and God, Savior and Lord. So here's what we're going to do. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's you, and you, listen, if you just want to do that, in just a moment, I'm just going to ask you to look up at me. And if I make eye contact with you, and you know, we kind of, hello, we see each other, I want you, put your head down. The reason I want to know is simple. It's not so I can say, wow, look at this or that. It's so that I can pray for you, so that I can be aware to help you in this transformation that God is going to do in you from death to life. Okay? We're going to all pray together. So this morning, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you say, Aaron, I don't want to run anymore. I don't want to search anymore. I want Jesus to fill my heart. Will you just look at me right now? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. We're going to pray in just a minute, but for those that do know Jesus, but you know what? You've kind of let some fear, you've kind of let some grieving, you've kind of allowed some doubts to kind of creep in, and just today you want to say, you know what, Aaron? I want a life to the full again. I want God to drive out that fear, those tears, and that doubt. And I want Him to come and fill me again. Listen, if that's you, will you look at me real quick? Awesome. Anybody else? Very good. Thank you. Thank you. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to pray for all of these things. Would you all stand, please? Thank you, Lord. So here's the deal. If you looked at me in either one of these, we're going to pray together, okay? And if you looked at me and you said, you know, I really want Jesus to fill me, it's real simple. Scripture teaches us that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. Not maybe, not if we say this just right or... we will be saved. So as we are praying, just say those words. Just communicate that to Him. He hears you. He knows your heart. For those that are dealing with doubt or pain or fear, just call out to Him. Listen, I can pray over you and do all the time. But God hears your prayers too. He wants you to come to Him. And when you do, He will open the door and He will do in your life what you need. All right? So no matter where you're at, and maybe you didn't look at me for any of those things, well then listen, you need to be praying for those that did. You need to be calling out to Him during this time. So pray with me. Father, we love You. And Jesus, we're so thankful for the beautiful empty of Your tomb. Knowing that because Your tomb is empty, our lives can be full. And so, Father, for those that maybe never have, or maybe they have at one time, but really haven't been living in a way that would indicate that they truly believe, that God, those that looked at me even now would just begin to pray, Jesus, I love You. Jesus, thank You for living and dying for me and raising again on the third day. And Jesus, I come to You now and I ask that You would come and that You would fill my heart, that You would fill my life. I believe that You are who You said You were, that You are Jesus' Son, and that, or God's Son, and that You died for my sins. So forgive me. I proclaim that You are Savior in my life and Lord of my life. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for filling my heart with You. And God, for those that are living in with tears and doubt and fear, God, whatever it is, God, I pray that in this moment they would understand that they don't have to live in those ways. They don't have to let those things grip them. Yes, there'll be seasons of hurt. Yes, there'll be seasons of doubt. Yes, there'll be seasons of fear. But we don't have to allow those things to grip our hearts. We can understand that even though there are tears, even though we grieve, we don't grieve like those who have no hope. We can know that we don't have to be a person of fear because perfect love drives out all fear. And that perfect love was expressed and shown through the sacrifice of Your Son. We don't have to live in doubt because our Jesus says, come and see, walk with Me, talk with Me, taste and see that I'm good. Put your hands here. Feel these things. Don't be faithless anymore. Simply believe. Wherever we're at, You'll fill us. And they'll go, God, for those that maybe didn't look up on either one, God, I pray for a new filling in their lives. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Let this be a day for all of us of a new filling, a new depth with You. Jesus, we love You. We thank You for this day, for all that it represents. We celebrate You. Celebrate Your life. Celebrate Your resurrection. And celebrate the fullness that You bring to our life. Fullness of joy. Fullness of love. Fullness of peace. Fullness of You. We love You. And we thank You. You are so good. And we love You so much. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. So listen, I love you so, so much. I hope you have a wonderful Resurrection Sunday. Thank you so much for spending some of that time with us. I know there's a lot that goes on days like this. Thank you so much for spending time with us. For those that are online, we love you. Happy Resurrection Sunday, wherever you are at. We love you as well. And for the rest of us, have a wonderful week and just continue to celebrate our risen Savior. Love you. Have a great one.